think Carol and the choir have a conspiracy against me. They make it so hard to follow them. Great music. Thank you so very much. Thank y'all. They're just trying to make me look bad. No, they're not. They're not. They're just wonderful. They're a wonderful group of people. I hope you felt that enthusiasm and the great music that we've had to start our service today and get underway. Today, at this time, we're going to go into our pastoral prayer. The only person I'm aware of that's in the hospital, unless you want to shout out to me, would be, I think James Neighbors went back in the hospital. I don't know if he's in this today, but I want to keep James and Faye in our prayers. Yes. Oh, and and so let's see. There's something else I was going to say. I'll think about it later. Anyway. Okay, go ahead.
She's in the hospital. She's about to give birth.
Oh, who's this? Oh, your stepsister's about to give birth. Oh, that's exciting. She's in the hospital. So, great. What's her name?
Kaylee.
Kaylee? Prayers for Kaylee then. Thank you for that. All right, let's be in the spirit of prayer at this time. So, gracious God, out of the treasures of your glory, strengthen us through your Spirit. Give us guidance when our pathway becomes uncertain. And strengthen us through your grace that your love may flow through us towards others. Empower us to be ambassadors of our Lord Jesus, that others may see the light and joy that resides within our hearts. Today is a special day. It's a special day because we are most grateful for a mother's love. For a mother's love is as deep as your love for creation. We ask that you will enable us to know this love and to be filled with your fullness. Help us to follow the example of how a mother loves her children, that our world may be a place of peace and contentment. We are grateful for our home and the blessings of our family. We are blessed that in the home we receive love and we are able to give love. Come upon us with quietness at this time and still our souls, that we may listen for the whisper of your Spirit and be sensitive to your presence. Help us to hear what you want to tell us. Point the way. Restrain us when need us. And give us purpose in our journey to follow you. For all that you have done for us, we praise your most precious name. We are mindful also, Lord, finally, to be reflective of the joys and yet concerns of our church family, the birth of a new child, and those recovering from illnesses. We ask that your presence will provide them peace and comfort during this time. We offer these words in the name of Jesus, who taught us the prayer to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. All right, we're going to prepare our hearts for the offering. Now, this is what I wanted to say earlier. We have new ushers today, right, John? And you will see them here in just a moment. So give them, when they have that opportunity to come forward after church, give them a big hug because we appreciate their service to our church. All right.
Isaiah chapter 6 records an encounter that Isaiah had with God in the year that King Uzziah died. He was in the temple and he was overcome. And he encountered God there. At one point God said, Whom shall I send and who will go for us? And Isaiah responded, Me, send me. Father, thank you for the examples that you give us. Not just examples of your son who came and gave his all, but you give us examples of people who, even in their flaws, even with their limitations, their hang-ups, their doubts, they follow you and bring glory to your name. May we do likewise. Bless this offering, Father. May it be sufficient for the work that you set our hands to here at St. Philip's, and we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Carol's looking at me again. Okay. My turn. Okay, our scripture reading is again from Acts, and this reading is going to be different from the tone that we've been looking at over the last several Sundays. And today is known as, for those of you who follow the liturgical calendar, it's known as Ascension Sunday. So this is last Sunday we were white, or the white is the color for the season. And starting next week, we start the season of Pentecost. And as you may remember, if you would like to play along, we would encourage folks to wear red. Wear red next Sunday. If you wore red today, that's fine. That's great. But just for us to put the emphasis on the fire of the Holy Spirit, that's something that I'd like to just throw out to you. So, here's our reading. In the first book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus did and taught from the beginning until the day when he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions to the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself alive to them by many convincing proofs, appearing to them during 40 days, speaking about the kingdom of God. While staying with them, he ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait there for the promise of the Father. This, he said, is what you have heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel? And he replied, "It is not for you to know the times or period that the Father has set by my authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come to you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." And when he had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going, they were gazing up towards heaven. Suddenly, two men in white robes stood by them. And they said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up towards heaven? This Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I just finished reading this little book written by a United Methodist pastor named Rob Renfro. He serves down in the Woodlands UMC, if you're familiar with Houston. He serves down there. So he just released this little book that he wrote. This is like his fourth book, called The Joy Stealers. The Joy Stealers. And towards the end of the book, he makes reference to another pastor that you may be familiar with. His name's John Maxwell. John Maxwell wrote several books, mostly on leadership, and continues to be active in ministry. So he's said to have coined this label, destination disease. Destination disease. So what is destination of disease, you ask? Well, I'm going to try to explain it to you here in just a minute. So destination disease is one of the diseases of, one of three diseases that they coined, Maxwell and Renfro, as diseases of the spirit. That's what's projected for you. So when I go through these terms, explaining what they are, see if you can identify with any of these spirits. See if you've been affected or are being affected by one of these spiritual illnesses. So the first disease was what we're going to talk about today, destination of beliefs. This is the belief that someday when something happens, then all will be well. When I get a raise, for example, I will be happy, right? When I move to a new house, I will be happy. When I purchase a new car, I will be happy. If I lose some weight, I'll be happy. Or my favorite that I've heard many times over the years, when I win the lottery. I can't tell you how many times people have said, "When I win the lottery, I'm going to give a big chunk of that money to the church." Well, I'm still waiting for that. So there's always something ahead that is apparently more important than the present. Surely some of us fall into that category, where we're always looking towards the future as opposed to the present. Now, there's a couple other terms I'd like to bring out to us. Next slide, please. Someone's sickness. Someone's sickness, you see, this is the belief that one's unhappiness is caused by someone else or somebody else. So when my boss is no longer a jerk, then I'll be happy. Now, being Mother's Day, most of us celebrate the blessings of our mothers, right? Most of us do that. However, every year someone will remind me, and someone will probably remind me after church this day, that their mother was miserable and that they were ruthless and mean. Somebody always reminds me of, you know, when they were growing up, how their mother mistreated them or something like that. Kind of a Mommy Dearest scenario, for those of you who remember that movie. In this case, the someone is the mother. I'm certain that's not the case for anyone in here, right? And then there's backward blues. Next one. This is a belief that current suffering is caused by something that has happened in the past. If only that didn't happen, I would be happy today, right? These people keep looking backwards, telling themselves, if only that didn't happen, I could be happy. Or some people would say that this illness is called if only illness, if only illness. So think about that. I don't have time to dissect all three of these particular spiritual illnesses and how they affect a person's spirit. But the first disease, destination disease, is a condition I believe is highlighted, interesting enough, in our lesson. And that's when I was reading our lesson, I immediately thought about destination disease. Can some of us relate to some of these illnesses? I'm just asking rhetorically. Don't answer. Okay, good. That's good. Just checking. Well, destination disease can stop us from experiencing the life of God that has called of us, all of us, and that is a life of joy. That's what we're supposed to have as Christians. And because we don't have joy within our hearts, that's why this lesson is so important. Because Christians shouldn't naturally be content. Now, Christians are not problem-free, and so I don't want to mislead anyone, because all Christians have problems just like everybody else, right? But there should still be a sense of inner joy and peace within all of us, even during the very difficult times of life. It appears that some of the Jesus disciples were suffering from destination disease. And how can I make this claim? Well, consider, if you will, and I was talking to the Sunday school class this morning. I can't remember who was the teacher. It was the singles. I think there's two singles groups. Anyway, it's one of the singles class. And I said, I'm going to talk about what they were talking about this morning. But some disciples thought of Jesus and his mission in a way that others did not. Some of them didn't necessarily see him as the world's savior, as much as they understood him to be as some sort of second coming of King David, or some sort of political figure that was going to overcome the Roman occupation that was prevalent at that time and return Israel to its glory days. Some of the people, including Jesus' 12 disciples, believed him to be not necessarily the savior of the world from a spiritual perspective, but from a political perspective. Note the setting that when Jesus rode in Jerusalem, many who had gathered to celebrate Jesus' entry celebrated in the sense that Jesus was riding into town to battle the existing government. Now, there were a lot of people who, celebrated his entry as the savior of the world from a spiritual perspective, but there were probably just as many, if not more, in the crowd who didn't really know Jesus and saw him in a different light. In fact, you recall that some of the crowd yelled out, "Hosanna, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel." And later in the same chapter, we actually read that the disciples, and I quote from the 12th chapter of John, did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things had been written of him. But they were initially confused. The disciples, the followers of Christ, were initially confused, even after spending so much time with Jesus. And Jesus even recognized his disciples were confused with his purpose. In fact, the 7th chapter of John, verse 65, reads these words of Christ: "The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life, but among you there are some who do not believe." Among you there are some who do not believe. That's because he sensed that some of them were looking to him for another purpose. Jesus knew that there were those who didn't believe in him as a Savior, as a Son of God. He knew from previous conversations we had with his followers. When it appeared that the Jesus movement was starting to turn precarious and it looked like he was going to go on trial and be persecuted and so forth, even the disciples were curious of which direction they were heading, because they thought that the road ahead was going to be a great road. Simon Peter, point blank, asked Jesus, "Lord, where are we going?" And shortly afterwards, Thomas jumped into the discussion and says, "Lord, we do not know the way." And even Philip, the apostle, was confused. And Jesus, in his frustration, asked Philip, as recorded in the 14th chapter of John, verse 9, these remarkable words: "Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me?" Wow. Ouch, right? "Have I been with you all this time and you still do not know me?" And of course, we're all familiar with the news that Judas finally abandoned ship when he saw that Jesus wasn't going to be the person he thought he was going to be. He betrayed Christ. After the death and resurrection of Jesus, we find that Simon Peter, Thomas the twin, Nathanael of Cana, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples that were unidentified, decided to return back to their former jobs as fishermen. Initially, they didn't see Jesus coming back into their lives. He had been crucified, but they thought they had lost their king, even even after they went into the tomb and saw the tomb was empty. We were talking about this in Sunday school today, that, you know, even Peter and John, remember that recollection where they run to the tomb and John outruns Peter because Peter's older? Yeah, it makes sense. They looked in there and they didn't do anything beyond that point. It was the women that saw Jesus as the Son of God. It was the women first. And the men, this came along. I was kidding in Sunday school class this morning, but that's because women are smarter. They're just smarter. They have a better perspective on things than men do. And in our lesson for today, we find some of Jesus' followers asking the pointed question, which must have been heartbreaking to Jesus. Did you catch this in our lesson today? Here's the question. Lord, is it time when you will restore the kingdom of Israel? Wow. After all that's been done, after all the lessons trying to demonstrate that he was a true Messiah, the king, spiritual king, his disciples ask him, when are you going to restore the kingdom of Israel? Are you kidding me? Is this all about you? You're asking me a question, even after my resurrection, I'm paraphrasing, of course, will you stop thinking about yourself and just search for contentment and just think about the moment at hand? Think about the moment at hand. Can you embrace that's all before you right now? See, those disciples, they missed so much because they were always thinking about the future, thinking about themselves, their own salvation. And so they missed so much that Jesus had to offer. After the death and resurrection, the tragedy of all this is that it appeared that everyone was looking for the end game instead of living for the moment. When Jesus takes over our land, then we'll be happy. When Jesus is overcomes the Roman authorities, well, then everything's going to be great again. But in missing the present, as I said, the disciples lost sight of what was before them. The disciples started to be enlightened, however, with the ascension event. The ascension. Not the resurrection, but the ascension. As the disciples watched Jesus ascend towards the clouds out of their sight, the angels pressed the followers by stating, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up to heaven?" As if to say, why are you just standing around? It's time to go to work now. So what the disciples did, is they still weren't really prompted at that time. They huddled up together in Jerusalem, and they stayed there until Stephen was stoned to death. And then everybody flew out of the nest for their protection. But they would eventually find their purpose, which would give them a sense of well-being and drive. And they learned to live in the moment instead of the future. They learned this. And we see this developing in the book of Acts, of how the disciples, including Peter, finally got it after the ascension. Even when they were expecting Jesus to return back immediately, you remember this from your studies of the epistle letters, they didn't let that lack of event distract them in their work. They still found joy. In other words, Jesus didn't come back as they initially expected him to come back. And that would have been an opportunity for them to lose their faith, but they didn't lose their faith. They actually continued to find joy in their work. So I'm thinking, my friends, instead of waiting until tomorrow for something and exciting and rewarding to happen, we should have been enjoying our time right now and the blessings and gifts that we have from God right now. We need to stop worrying about tomorrow, meaning purpose and happiness can be attained today. Right? There's a radio commercial that used to be played on XM radio. I listen to XM radio. And Joe Osteen has this new radio station, and he used to have this commercial that would play over and over and over again. And in the commercial, there's a little snippet. Is that a word, snippet? Thank you. I have to check with Carol to make sure it's a word. There's a little snippet from his sermons that says, "You will not be blessed, you are blessed." And what Joel Osteen is saying right there, whether you're a fan or not, but try to think of the message. What he's saying is, Stop thinking about being blessed tomorrow. Think about you're blessed right now. Right now. Did you see the story about the oldest living man in the United States in the paper this past week? Well, actually, I don't read the paper. I read an iPad. But you know what I'm saying. He happens to be the oldest veteran in the United States. Did you see that? Are you familiar with this guy? He lives here in Texas. Actually, he lives in Austin. Richard Overton is quite a character. At 112 years old, 112, he just had a happy birthday last Friday. So Clyde, you think you're getting older. You're not. You're still a kid. At 112, he smokes a dozen cigars a day. Kids, cover your ears. That doesn't mean that you need to start smoking, because that's not your secret of success. A dozen cigars. He starts at like at 4:30 in the morning. Right? He drinks lots of Dr. Pepper. He says that's his sweet juice. He drinks other things, but we're in church. We're not going to talk about that. Well, during his interview with the reporter, he stated that he doesn't really worry about death, even though he knows it's right around the corner. He doesn't worry about it. His statement to the reporter was, "I didn't know when I came here, and I don't know when I'm going. That's God's work." And the tone of his life is that, you know, he just lives for the day and is grateful to be alive. It's a great story. It's a good story. I know when I greet some of you in the hallway, some of you will say, "I'm just glad to be here. I'm glad to be alive." And that's a good testimony. The other day I was in discussion about this very subject matter of living in the moment. You know, it's easy for us to get bogged down into the depressing news of the day. When we turn on the TV or read the paper or look at social media, there's always something that's eager to bring us down, right? To get depressed about. It's easy for us to get agitated by the lack of morals and decency in favor of money and power, right? It's easier for us to get upset about our country's state of affair and its divisive nature and how one group, half the country is against the other half of the country. It's depressing. And it's like, man, what's this world coming to? It would be easy to get up during the day instead of being joyful, but to be depressed. Be depressed. It's like, oh, another day. But when these times come upon us, we should try to refocus by counting our blessings. I'm sure that all of us can think of blessings right now, at this moment. I even actually thought about passing out pieces of paper to everybody in church and having you just start writing down your blessings. I think you would be surprised. Did you know that a blessing would be receiving water out of a faucet? Most of the country doesn't do that, but we do. We take that for granted, right? And we can take showers and baths, when we want to. We live in air conditioning homes. We talk on smartphones. How in the world is our voice being transferred across air? I don't know, right? We're being entertained. We can eat whatever we want, whenever we want, which are privileges that most people don't have. We have big grocery stores. We don't have to go hunt and gather our food. It's just right there, right? Have you ever thought about it as a blessing, or is that something we just take for granted? We take for granted. Think about where we live. We can purchase, all of us in this room can purchase anything we want within probably a 10 or 15 mile radius of our home, right? Anything we want. And if we can't purchase it for whatever it is, for whatever reason, we can order it on the internet or through our smartphones, and we can have same day delivery. Is that amazing? That's like a real blessing. I mean, I can order a pizza from my phone. I can order flowers and have them flown here from Kenya tomorrow. I mean, isn't that a blessing? But most importantly, when we think about blessings, we should remember our family and church. We should remember our family and church, even when the journey is not smooth. Right? All of us have raised families. It's not always been pleasant. It's been challenging. But in the family, there's someone that loves you. Loves you very much besides your flaws. And you love your kids very much despite their flaws. And it kind of works that way in the church. Yes, church people gripe about this, that, and the other. But you come to church because you feel supported and love in your Sunday school classes and the groups that you are participating in. I'm guessing that most of us have been blessed over and over again by our family and our church. Personally, I try not to let my mind fall into the trap of destination disease, someone's sickness, or backward blues. I try to live for the moment. I get caught up in those illnesses every now and then. But I try to enjoy all that God has given me today. Being Mother's Day, I'm very glad that my mother is still with me and that I know that she loves me, which warms my heart, and I love her as well. I'm hoping that'll be the case with you, that when you start feeling depressed or down or falling into one of these columns of illnesses, that you will also think about the blessings before you. If anyone here suffers from one of these illnesses, even as some of the disciples, amazingly enough, the disciples, take heart, count your blessings right now, write them down, and you'll see how God has been good to you. You'll see that. As the old hymn goes, Carol, do you remember this hymn? Count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Happy Mother's Day, everybody. Amen. Oh, I'm supposed to say something, I'm saying. I can always hear Carol going in my ear. She has this little laugh underneath her. Anyway, never mind. Thank you for listening. Thank you for listening to that message. If you'd like to know more about the church, I'm always available to answer whatever questions you may have. Perhaps your relationship with Christ needs to be a little bit closer, and you need to hear someone talk to you and share with you how blessed you really are. I'd be glad to do that as the pastor of this church, but we have many other church leaders as well. So as always, I would invite anybody to come forward who has a special need for prayer. All right, we're going to sing Spirit Song.
Oh,
Before we have our words of grace, we have a couple who wants to join the church. And so I'm going to ask Bob and Sue Skinner. Bob, can you make it down this way? Yes. This is Bob and Sue Skinner, and they've been coming to our church, they said, for about 3 years, but they haven't been members. And so, would you turn around so people can see you? Can you do that for me? And I've enjoyed getting to visit with them. They live right here at Brookdale, right around the corner. They lived a good life, actually. And they're happily married. It's just a joy to visit with them. They come from Paris. That's where they're transferring their membership from First United Methodist Church in Paris, home of Campbell's Soup and Fish Fry. That's right. And so we're just transferring their membership, meaning that when you join the Methodist Church, you're just a Methodist. But certain churches hold the records of the members. And so we're just a stewardship of their records. But I wanted to introduce you to them and be sure to greet them after church today. Thank you all so very much. Thank you very much. Yeah, you receive these words of grace as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourself with compassion and kindness and humility, meekness and patience, and bear with one another. Forgive each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. And above all, clothe yourself with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Amen. Amen. All right, it's our custom here to sing our final sending song by holding hands with our neighbors, reaching across the aisle.